Well, praise the Lord and God bless each one of you on today. This is Co-Pastor Elmer Hess Sr. I am the co-pastor along with Dr. E.R. Hess Jr., my son, at the First Pentecostal Family Worship Center in Battle Creek, Michigan. And this is our word of hope for today. I'm going to do the word of hope on today. I'm going to go to the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 16. It simply says, according to the Apostle Paul, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I have another just brief scripture here, St. John 1 and 14, and says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us." Thank God for this word on today. Ask the Lord to help me with this word, where I can share this word, where the people of God that are living for God really can see transformation in their lives. Today I want to talk about when the word becomes visible in you and on you. When the word becomes visible in you and on you. Well, the world does not need more sermons. The world needs more living epistles. This sermon today is really not complete until it is visible in the saints. When the word becomes visible in you and on you, people can feel the teaching. People can follow the teaching. People can trust the teaching when the word becomes visible in and on us. This gospel message today, this sermon, this word is not fulfilled until it's seen. Yes, holiness, sanctification, and salvation becomes visible in the lives of those that possess it. And so the gospel sermon word begins in hearing, and then it grows in our believing. But it actually is fulfilled when the word becomes visible. So we have to hear the word, then we have to grow, and we have to believe the word, and it is fulfilled in our lives where the word becomes visible. Then we are living epistles read of men. God never intended his gospel sermon word to stay in the air as sound, or even in the mind as knowledge, or in the heart as conviction. But the gospel sermon word is meant to take on form. And the invisible word must produce visible evidence. The invisible must produce visible evidence, because the word becomes visible in you through inner transformation. Book of Romans, 12th chapter, verse 2, tells us that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And when the word becomes visible in us, it shows up in our desires, shows up in our convictions, our thinking, our temperament, our identity. When the word becomes visible in us, when our nature starts looking like Jesus, people ought to be able to look at us and see that we have been with Jesus. What does people see in you and on you that lets them know that you have been with Jesus? Whatever is visible on the outside is a reflection of the work done invisibly on the inside. So the word becomes visible in you through outward manifestation. Whatever is happening on the inside that is invisible because of the gospel sermon, because of the preaching of the gospel, it is not complete until or unless there is an outward manifestation. Bible tells us, St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 16, that "Let your light so shine before men, then you glorify your Father which is in heaven." This is the external visibility of the word. The word becomes visible on you, and it shows up in you. It shows up in your conduct. It shows up in your speech, your appearance, your decisions, your relationships, and even your lifestyle. There are many people that feel as if lifestyle has nothing to do with salvation. Lifestyle has everything to do with salvation. One of these days, I'm going to get to that scripture about how man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Well, he does not only look at the heart, he looks at the outer appearance as well. This is not performance, it's proof. When your light is shining and people can see that you have been with Christ through the word, what God does in us must eventually show on us. What God does in us must eventually show visibly on us. The word in you produces fruit. The word on you produces witness. And I say that again, the word in us produces fruit. The word on us produces a witness. Fruit is a visible character of Christ. Fruit says, Christ lives in me. How we act, how we respond in our humanity, it expresses the expression of Christ living in us. Our outer appearance does the same thing. Fruit says, Christ lives in me. Witness says, Christ lives through me. Fruit is the word visible in our temperament. Witness is the word visible in our testimony. What we say is our witness. What is visible is our fruit. Strangers ought to be able to tell that we have been with Jesus. Strangers ought to be able to tell and know with a surety that we are sanctified people. We're not just sanctified on the inside, we're sanctified on the outside. We're sanctified in our lifestyle, in the things that we do. That is a witness that the word is visible in our testimony. We've got to do more than testify. One of the worst things to see is someone that externally is looking one way and testifying something else. The word becomes visible when our life becomes a living epistle. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. I'm just teaching on today. This is just a so you know message. 2 Corinthians 3 and 2, it says, ye are our epistle, read of all men. People may never read a Bible, but people will read you. When the word becomes visible, your walk preaches, your attitude preaches, your holiness preaches, your integrity preaches, your compassion preaches, your consistency preaches. It's a kingdom declaration when the word becomes visible. The word becomes visible when our life becomes readable. I said the word becomes visible when our life becomes readable. The word becomes visible through our consistent obedience. John 14 and 21 says, I will manifest myself. Because obedience is the bridge between hearing and visibility. We can say a lot of things and people can hear a lot of things, and we can talk real good about who Jesus is and what the scripture says. But what about the visibility? When you obey the word, Christ becomes recognizable. Holiness becomes undeniable. I said when you obey the word, transformation becomes unexplainable and the gospel becomes visible. Because obedience paints the word on the canvas of our lives. I say obedience paints the word on the canvas of our lives. The word becomes visible when Christ is formed in us. Galatians 4:19 tells us, until Christ be formed in you. Formation is visibility. Christ formed in you, that's your nature. Christ formed on you is the image, and Christ formed through you is the influence. So the word in us is transformation. The word on us is manifestation, and the word through us is demonstration. So we go from transformation to manifestation to demonstration, because the word must be seen and not just heard. The word becomes visible in us and on us. Our lives become a sermon. Our walk becomes a witness. Our character becomes a chapter. Our holiness becomes a message, and our transformation becomes a testimony, because the word becomes visible when Christ becomes undeniable in us and unmistakably on us. In us is a wonderful thing. That's for you to know. On us is our testimony for the world to know. We have obedience. Obedience is the bridge to visibility. Obedience is a bridge between hearing and seeing. In John 14:21, once again, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, I will manifest myself to him. And I would add on, through him and on him. Hearing gives us information. Obedience gives us manifestation. Hearing introduces the word. Obedience reveals the word in us. When we are obeying God, we have to make sure that we have a presence of God in us that is invisible, and the presence of God on the exterior that is also something that people can see, and it is visible. Hearing puts the word in our ears, but obedience puts the word in our lives. If we're not in obedience to God's word, our life is going to demonstrate what's on the inside, because obedience is the bridge that carries the word from invisible truth into visible reality. This is some word on today. Obedience is the bridge between revelation and incarnation. Revelation is when God shows you the truth. Incarnation is when God shows truth through you. Revelation is invisible. Incarnation is visible. We serve an incarnate Christ. He is visible through us. What connects the two? Obedience. Obedience is the moment that the word stops being a message and starts being a manifestation. Obedience is a bridge between believing and becoming. John 1:22, I've said it several times within the last couple of months, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. That's found in James 1:22. Believing is something that is internal. Becoming is external and is visible. Believing is conviction on the inside. Becoming is transformation on the inside that becomes visible on the outside. Believing is invisible. Becoming is visible. When we look at obedience, even the more, obedience is the bridge that turns belief into behavior. When you obey the word of God and you believe the word of God, it becomes visible in our behavior. Obedience is the bridge between the root and the fruit. Galatians 5:22-23, it lets us know about the fruit of the Spirit. Roots are hidden. Fruit is visible. Roots are private. Fruit is public. Roots are internal. Fruit is external. Obedience is the bridge that carries the word from the root of our heart to the fruit of our life. I said obedience to God's word is the bridge that carries the word from the root of our heart to the fruit of our lives. Obedience is the bridge between conviction and character. Conviction is what you feel. Character is what you live and how you live. Conviction is the whisper of the Spirit, but character is the witness of the Spirit. Conviction, again, is invisible. Character is visible, because obedience is the bridge that turns conviction into character. You must cross that bridge. Your belief, your faith, that conviction on the inside, it turns into character on the outside. So obedience is the bridge between promise and performance. Every promise in Scripture is activated by our obedience. People are trying to get the promises of God to be active in our lives. We do not want to be obedient to the Scripture. Noah obeyed and the ark was built. Abraham obeyed and the nation was born. Moses obeyed and the Red Sea opened. Joshua obeyed and Jericho fell. Mary obeyed and the Messiah came. The disciples obeyed and the world was turned upside down, it says in the New Testament. Obedience is the bridge that carries us from what God said to what God shows. God is trying to show our lives to those that need Him. Obedience is the bridge between the Word in us and the Word on us. It's a bridge. Obedience is the bridge. So the Word in us is transformation, and the Word on us is manifestation. The Word in you is your new identity, and the Word on you is your new testimony. Let me just put it like this. Somebody said, the things I used to do, I don't do those anymore. The place I used to go, I don't go there anymore. Not because I'm better, but because I've been changed. I am manifesting visibly what has taken place invisibly in my life on the outside. The Word in you is formation. The Word on you is visibility. Obedience is that bridge that makes the Word recognizable, readable, and undeniable inside and outside. Obedience is what makes the Word walk. So when you obey the Word, it becomes visible on the outside. We have to become what we have heard. The goal of preaching is not that the hearers say amen. The goal of preaching is that you say, I am becoming what I heard. That's why we say that we are to listen with the intent to obey, because the goal of preaching is not that the listener or the hearer say amen. We want more amen. I'd rather have less amens, because I want the goal to be that you are becoming what you heard. The goal is not that you remember the sermon. The goal is that the sermon remakes us. Not that we remember the sermon. We should remember the sermon. But that's not the goal. The goal of the preaching is that the sermon remakes us. The goal is not that you are admiring the teaching. The goal is that you become the image of the teaching, because the intended goal of the preacher and the preaching of the gospel sermon, it is for us to be transformed. The gospel sermon was never meant to only inform. The gospel sermon was meant to transform. The gospel sermon is not a lecture. The gospel sermon is not data. The gospel sermon is not religious content. But the gospel sermon, according to Paul in Romans 1 and 16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So the gospel sermon, not the information of God, but the gospel sermon is not just the idea of God. The gospel sermon is not just the concepts of God, but the gospel sermon, according to Paul, is the power of God unto salvation. So the gospel sermon is a living word. It's not just a learned word. It's not that you have apprehended a word, but it is a living word that we have apprehended. Hebrews 4 and 12 says the word of God is living and active. Information sits on a page. Information is heard by the ear, but revelation stands up and stands out and becomes visible in your spirit, and it becomes visible in your walk. Information simply educates, but revelation elevates. Information informs the mind, but revelation invades the heart. So the gospel is alive, and anything alive grows. Anything alive moves, it changes, and it transforms. So the gospel does not come to improve us. It comes to recreate us. I said the gospel does not come to improve us. It comes to recreate us. So the gospel sermon does not come to improve us. The gospel sermon comes to recreate us on the inside as well as on the outside. So the gospel sermon is not a self-help message. The gospel sermon is a supernatural miracle. When you hear the gospel, you are hearing a miracle that can transform our lives inside and outside. A self-help message, it improves the old man, but the preaching of the gospel, that is the power of God unto salvation, it crucifies the old man and creates a new man. Bible says once again, if any man be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Does not say if any man be in Christ, he or she is a better version of the old man. We're not trying to be a better version of the old man. We are a new creation. We're not just a new and improved addition. We're not a polished sinner. But 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says we are new creatures, not upgraded, not enhanced, not modified, but new. New on the inside and new on the outside. The gospel does not fix you. The gospel replaces you. The gospel does not repair the old nature. The gospel replaces the old nature. Romans 6 teaches that the old man is crucified with Christ. Crucifixion is not improvement. Crucifixion is not adjustment. Crucifixion is not rehabilitation. Crucifixion means death. God is not trying to make the old you behave. God is trying to make the new you alive on the inside and on the outside. The gospel is a creative word, not an informative word. It's a creative word. That same God who said, let there be light, now says, let there be life on the inside and on the outside. Listen, I've been talking a long time today, but I pray that this word is feeding you in some form, some fashion. Because the gospel carries that same creative force that shaped the universe. When the gospel enters a person, dead hearts come alive, blind minds open, hardened spirits soften, broken identities are rebuilt, sin-shaped lives are reformed into Christ-shaped lives. The gospel does not make you better. The gospel makes you born again. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and I'm going to bring it to a close, Jesus did not tell Nicodemus, try harder, Nick. Do better, Nick. Improve yourself, Nick. Polish your religion, Nick. He said, Nick, you must be born again, because birth is not improvement. Birth is beginning. Birth is not creation. Birth is transformation with a new identity. We don't just need a tune-up. We need a birth. Because the gospel does not come to adjust our behavior. It comes to alter our behavior. I thank God for this word on today. I'm just going to bring it to a close right here. I need for you to pray for me. Listen, there's so much that I want to share with the people of God that are hungry for righteousness, hungry for holiness, hungry for sanctification, holy and ready to please God. That's our desire. We're not giving up any ground. I tell you, we're standing our ground and we're trusting God's word, God's unchangeable word, because the word of God is what we want, it's what we love, it's what we pursue, what we crave, and what we are becoming is the word of God. God bless you today. This has been Pastor Hess. Love for you to come and visit us real soon. First Pentecostal Family Worship Center, 4720 Beckley Road in Battle Creek, Michigan. Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. We're there to serve you in the house of the Lord. God bless you. Until the next time.